It's that time to feed, Dave. Glad you're here. We're on page 7. Psalm 107 today. 107. Appreciate you coming, your interest in our Bible study. 107. It begins by saying, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." We're called upon to be thankful. And then I'm capitalizing on verse 2. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Who are the redeemed? By the way, anybody need a copy of this material? Hold up your hand and receive it again. Somebody needs one in the back. Number, page 7. Pass it back. Anybody else need a copy of the material on page 7? Unless you are a visitor, you already have copies, right? You got these filled out? And I assume you fill these out? Everybody got them filled out? Who are the redeemed, by the way? Who are the redeemed?
The ones that
obey God. Yeah, the word redemption is found in the Bible. Redemption. What does the word redeem mean? We'll start off with...
To be retaken, re-brought back.
Yeah, it's like that, that somebody paid the price. Redeem. Take a coupon to the store and you do what with it? Redeem it. And somebody picks up the what? The tab. You thought it's free, didn't you? It isn't. Say it's a bar of soap. Guess what? That company attaches cost to that bar of soap that pays for those things. Somebody pays the price. Now, when you look at it from a spiritual standpoint, somebody paid the price for your salvation. That's called redemption. We're bought with a what?
Price.
1 Corinthians 6:20 says that. We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And Peter said in 1 Peter 1:18-19, we are not redeemed. We're not bought by any names. Things we're not bought by. What are some of those things that does not purchase us? Who wants to begin that one? Edie. Greg. We are not redeemed by... What? Who knows? Silver and gold. 1 Peter 1:18. But by what? The precious blood of Christ. That's what redeems us. Where is redemption? Where is it? In Christ. Redemption is in Christ. In Him we have redemption. Ephesians 1:7. Can you put all that together? Now, the text we're looking at says, "Let the redeemed say so." Say what? What's the redeemed going to say? Kick that one off. Who wants to do that? What do the redeemed need to be saying, Alan? Come on.
That they are redeemed.
Yeah, we need to say so. We are redeemed. If you talk to other people, you need to tell them about what?
Christ.
How you're redeemed. And redemption is in Christ. How do you get into Christ, Ann?
Baptized
into Christ. Galatians 3:27. See, you're not in Christ until you've been what? Tommy. Baptized. That's how you get into Christ. Baptized into Christ. Does the Bible say that?
Yes.
It does. Who knows where? Anybody? Who knows? Great? Well, that text doesn't say that. It says it's for the remission of sins. But there's a text that says we're baptized into Christ. Who really knows? Nobody? Galatians 3:27. Galatians 3:27. Baptized into Christ. That's how you get in. See? And that's where all the blessings are. That's where the redeemed are. In Christ. When I ask you in point C, find some New Testament passage about redemption. What passage do you put in your blank? Debbie. Yvette. Ann. Hide behind Ray. Well, I don't believe y'all been studying these things very much.
I put a lot down.
Ephesians 1:7 should be one. Yes.
But 1 Peter 1:18.
Yes, 1 Peter 1:18-19. We were redeemed by the blood of Christ.
Galatians 4.
Yes, it deals with it as well.
Luke 1:16.
What?
Luke 1:16.
What does it say?
That redeems the people from the families.
Okay. All right. Psalm 110. Everybody knows about Melchizedek, correct? Do you have trouble pronouncing that, anybody? It's Melchizedek. Have you heard a lesson on that recently, Yvette? Yeah, recently. Have you seen a lesson on that recently? Greg? Ann, you haven't.
2 weeks ago.
You have. Where did you sit? Let me ask you again. Alan, you seen a lesson on this recently? You haven't. Have you, Jenny?
Yes.
You have. Have you, Mabel, have you seen a lesson on this, Ann? See this bulletin? January 8th. I said in this little lesson on Melchizedek, be sure and file this away, you may need it. You just might be asked about this by someone. You were being asked. I don't believe you're reading these bulletins. Are you? Maybe some of you. Are you not reading? I like to encourage you to read them. I spend a lot of time putting these together for you. A priest after the order of Melchizedek. Well, what's that about? Most people never heard of it. What in the world does that mean, a priest after the order of Melchizedek? Mabel, you tell us. Just tell us in your words.
I thought he was high priest after Christ, like Christ.
No, Christ is high priest after him.
Yes.
It's after Melchizedek. Yeah, anyway.
He's high priest.
Okay. Melchizedek is first mentioned in the book of Genesis 14. When he went out to congratulate Abraham over his victory over the allies, the enemies, and his allies. He brought him bread and wine, and as he bestowed his blessings upon Abraham. And he acknowledged his priesthood. Abraham gave the royal priest tithes of all that had been taken. And you come over to the book of Hebrews. The Hebrew writer, if you remember reading this, dealt with this in Hebrews in chapter 7. Hebrews 7:1 says, for this Melchizedek, and by the way, the word spelled in the New Testament is a little different from the way it's spelled in the Old Testament. They do that sometimes. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him. If you were to follow that reference back, you'd go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 14, that I just mentioned to you. Okay? Then verse 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. What's a tenth? What's it called?
A tithe.
A tithe. That's what the text says in Genesis. First being an interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Verse 3, Hebrews 7. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Who else is like that? Neither beginning of days or end of life. Christ. Well, God too. But Christ has always what? He's always been. He was in the creation. Genesis 1. And so, see, Melchizedek was described without beginning and end. Jesus is without beginning and end. That's how they are alive. You see? After the order of Melchizedek. But made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch. What's the word patriarch mean? Father. Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils, rather. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. And on that goes. Okay? So, when you read all this, you begin to see that that Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. In chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews, 5 and 6, and he said also in another place, that's Psalm 110, by the way, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And other passages mention that as well. Verse 10, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And in chapter 7, he talks about it as we just mentioned to you. Okay? Verse 21 of chapter 7, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, Christ after the order. What's that about? Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that what tribe was Jesus of? Huh?
Judah.
He was not of the tribe of Levi. Earthly priests came from what tribe?
Levi.
Hebrews 7:5. I just read that to you. Also, Jesus is a priest after all Melchizedek in that he's superior to Abraham. Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, which meant that Melchizedek was superior to whom?
Abraham.
And the text would tell us, Hebrews tells us, that Christ is what? Superior to everybody. He's superior to the law. His law is superior to the law of Moses. Christ is superior to everybody in that sense. An outstanding thing about these two people, Melchizedek and Christ, both of them were two things at the same time. What were they? King and priest. Got to have both of them. King and priest at the same time. Melchizedek was. Christ is. And so he's after the order of Melchizedek. You go back to the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah in chapter 6. What points out that Christ would sit on his throne, rule on his throne, and be priest on his throne at the same time. When did Christ become that? When did he become priest and king on his throne? Is he that, or is he going to be in the future? Now. Yeah. When he died and ascended to heaven, then he was placed on the right hand of God, and given power and authority and so on. Remember? And Hebrews 1... it's a great book to show you all this material. Hebrews chapter 1, how the apostle goes into detail and points that out. Hebrews 1:3, who being, talking about Christ, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholdeth all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, what did he sit down on? On the right hand of the majesty on high. That's when he became high priest and king of kings and lord of lords. Melchizedek, the Bible says, without beginning and end. Hebrews 7:3, Christ had no beginning or end. He's always existed. Well, you need to be familiar with that. You might be on a quiz program sometime and the question might be, who is Melchizedek? And now you could say what? You could say something, couldn't you? Yeah, okay. That's the reason I wrote the material for you. That's the reason I want you to read it. file it away. Do you file stuff away, by the way? You have a little filing system? You know, if you don't, I urge you to start one. Get you a little box of, what are these called? Manila folders. Staples had them on sale just recently for $3 a box. Normally about $8. But anyhow, what would you file this under, Tommy? What letter? Robin?
M.
Why M?
Melchizedek.
Unless you've got another system of filing. When we did the preacher training program, we urged the fellows to file it under a number system, right, Greg? And that's one way you do it. But for you, this is probably easier under Melchizedek. Okay? I just throw that in a little extra for you. All right. Now you know all about Melchizedek. Psalm 111. We're moving right along. Psalm 111. What did you learn from verse 9, Ann? Johnson. Verse 9.
To be steadfast, I put.
111:9. You want to read it? Read it, Ann.
May his children be fatherless and.
No, wrong passage. 111, chapter 111, verse 9.
He has set redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever, holy and awesome in his name.
Okay. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever, holy and what?
Reverend
is his name. That's verse 11, right? Well, what did you learn from that? Well, first of all, you learn about redemption. We just talked about that, didn't we? Let the redeemed do what, Mabel? Two words. Ray. Let the redeemed what?
Say so.
We just looked at that about 10 minutes ago. Okay? Now, what about that word reverend? Did you underscore that? I already underscored that one. That's the only time the word reverend is found where? In the Bible. Who's it talking about? Holy and reverend is his name.
God.
What about preachers today that are called reverend? Art?
They're just overstepping. They're actually elevating themselves, in my opinion, trying to elevate themselves above the congregation. There's, you know.
Actually, they're just about elevating themselves with whom?
God. Trying to.
Holy is reverend is his name, God's name. Did you ever read the word reverend in the Bible referring to a preacher, anybody?
No.
Never did. It's not in there. Holy and reverend is God's name. That's the only time it's ever used in the entire Bible. God's the only one to be reverend. Now, you just look around in this area and you find preachers who are called what? Reverend. And some of them are not happy with that. They want to be called what?
Right, Reverend.
Just look on the billboards of some of these organizations and you'll see that. And they, Reverend so-and-so, Reverend so-and-so. The apostles were never called Reverend. How were they identified?
By their names.
Peter, James, and John. Was Christ ever called Reverend? Never. Not even Christ. Only God. Holy is reverend is his name. Well, somebody said, what do you call the preacher?
Let's
call him by his name. Hey there, if you can't think of his name, he'll know what you mean. Yeah, just Peter, James, and John. Is it wrong for a preacher to be elevated to that point?
Yes.
Art says it is. It is. I mean, most people do it, you know, and preachers demand it.
They're not very smart in the scripture then.
Yeah, it's probably true also.
Should address people say brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so.
Is the word brother a title? Greg?
Yes.
We'll say Brother Jones, Brother Smith, Brother whoever. Is that a title? What is it?
It's supposed to be an endearment.
A relationship, isn't it? Yeah. We're brethren. Okay. We're brethren. We're brothers. We're in the same what, Jenny?
It's supposed to be the same tribe. Same.
Family. That's when we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Now you have to watch that brother business. Why? How? Sometimes we just about make a title out of it. I know the dentist I go to in Ellisville. I've gone since 1960. The same dentist. But anyway, I notice they have on my chart Brother Edwards. They're about doing what with me on that chart, Debbie?
Giving you a title.
They're about giving me a title. Think about that. See, what we do sometimes, we think about the preacher as Brother Edwards. But when you come to Old Will, it's what? Just Old Will. You see the difference? When we do that, Greg, what are we doing?
It's almost like an elevation.
Yeah, we're making a distinction. It's like the clergy and the laity. You heard those words? In the denominational world, there's the clergy. That's the preachers and the priests and so on. The other folks are called what? Laity. You're the lay people. I'm the clergyman. Attitude. See that? No such thing in the Bible. No such thing. We're all on the same what? Same level. There's no elevation of the preacher above any other man in this audience. See that? And we must recognize that by these titles, yes.
Well, there's another concern that I can see is that I've been in scenarios where somebody, there'll be a group of people together from different backgrounds, we'll say, and maybe they're at a meeting, and somebody will ask Brother so-and-so to say a prayer. Well, you don't know anything about him. If you don't know what kind of a person that person is, and you sign in the title of brother, in this case, a title of brother, that's something you may not want to do.
He may not be a brother.
That's right. So you got to be careful.
You heard the word Catcherside? Carl Catcherside, anybody?
Yeah.
Some of you have. Most of you haven't heard of him? Well, anyway. He's dead and gone, but he used to be in the Church of Christ, and he's the one that taught against the located preacher stuff, and then he swung completely the other way. Usually when people change, they go the other way, so he went that way. And before he died, he quit preaching in the Church of Christ and preached in some other groups. But anyhow, he said, we're all brethren. And somebody asked him, how do you explain that? And he said, you mean folks who've never obeyed the gospel? We're all in the same family? He said, well, we're brethren in prospect. In prospect. What's that mean?
Trying to find something.
Maybe down the road they will obey the gospel. They're prospects. You know, the Bible doesn't teach that. Now, what about wearing some other titles? And I asked to see if you found anything else in the New Testament about that. I'm interested to see what you put in that blank, Jenny. Point B.
I put Ephesians 1:7-14.
Why'd you put that? Under point 46? Somebody else. Yeah, Greg, what'd you put?
Matthew 6:9.
What?
Matthew 6:9.
Why did you put that?
Well, it says, after this manner, therefore pray you, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
God's name's hallowed, yeah. Okay. Anybody else got a passage? Karen, did you pick up anything? Okay. Anybody?
I went with the redemption part on that.
Okay. Anybody get about the titles? Matt?
Redemption.
Who followed up on the title business? Anybody? Did you, Rebecca?
149.
What does it say?
For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name.
Okay. God. Matthew 23, where you need to be. Matthew 23:7. He talks about people in Matthew 23 in verse 6 who love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue. In other words, when I come in, I want to sit where? in the chief seat. And when I come into a feast, I want to sit where? In the uppermost rooms. Because I'm higher and elevated than anybody else. Attitude. That's what this is about. Now watch verse 7. I'm in Matthew 23. Greetings in the markets to be called of men, what?
Rabbi.
Rabbi. Who wears that title?
All the Jewish...
The Jewish priests. The Jewish teachers. Rabbi.
Jesus was called Rabbi.
Yeah, but he was the master teacher.
Right.
But there were men. Men are not to be called Rabbi. But in the Jewish religion, that's what they're called. He said, don't be called Rabbi. Why not? For one is your master. That means the word rabbi evidently means master and teacher. Even Christ and all ye are what? Brethren. Verse 9. Call no man your what? Father upon the earth. For one is your Father which is in heaven. That's God. What religious group calls the priest Father?
Catholic.
The Catholic Church.
They didn't read this.
Father. He said, don't call a man father. He's not your father, spiritually. Who is our father? God. You see the difference? If you were to say that to a priest, how do you think he'd answer that? How do you think that priest, if you were to say, the Bible says, call no man your father upon the earth, how do you think he'd answer that? I know, how would he answer it?
Talking like a family father.
Yeah, he says, do you ever call your dad father?
No, I just call him dad.
But you could call him father, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what he'd say to you. He'd say, well, Will, you ever call your dad father? But he says, call no man your father. You violated that, he'd tell you. How'd you answer that?
It's not a title.
We're talking about spiritual father.
Yeah. The Bible allows for you to recognize as a father-child relationship. Galatians 6, 4. Remember that? 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And you come down to Ephesians 6, 4. What's the first word, Greg?
Fathers.
Ephesians
6,
4.
6, 4. What does it say?
The
Ephesians 6, 4.
Ephesians, okay.
Sorry. Ephesians 6, 4. First word.
And ye fathers.
Fathers. Provoke not your children to wrath. God recognizes, the Bible recognizes, a child-parent relationship, father and child.
Then there's also the Ephesians chapter 6, 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment of the...
Yeah. And so God allows for a child-parent relationship called father. But you go back to Matthew 23, as Art said, he's not dealing with that. He's talking about wearing religious titles. Spiritual father. We don't have a spiritual father on the earth. Who is your spiritual father? Matt?
God.
God. In the model prayer, our Father which art in heaven. That's God. And so, you ought to be calling any man your father, spiritually speaking. For one's your father. What about master? Verse 10, neither be ye called masters. Why? For one is your master, even Christ. What group refers to some men as masters? Who knows?
Masons.
In the Masonic Lodge.
Lodges.
Do you know that? Master Mason. That's one reason that I don't believe you ought to be a Mason, because it violates that passage. That's one. I could give you others, but you need to think about that. Well, so much for the titles. Job said, and when Job wrote about it, I learned not to give flattering titles unto men. Remember that when we started the book of Job? He said, if I did, my maker would soon cut me off. In the book of Job. Remember that one? How many remember that one? Two of you. Well, very good. Job. What? Anybody remember where that was located? Offhand.
32.
Huh?
32.
32. Wonderful. The last verse, isn't it?
32:21-22.
Look at it. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. For I know not to give flattering titles, for in so doing my maker would soon take me away. Pretty good evidence, isn't it, about this stuff? So be sure you learn the lesson from Psalm 11 and verse 9. Point C, Psalm 11, 111. What does the fear of the Lord bring about from this chapter? Wisdom. Wisdom, that's right. Wisdom. If you're going to learn a whole lot about wisdom, what book of the Bible would you read and study? Rebecca. Proverbs. What book follows the book of Psalms, Jenny? Proverbs. That's what we're going to study next. We're going to survey the Proverbs. I'm already working on it for you. Hope to have it ready for you soon. When we finish this, we'll dive into the book of Proverbs. Great book. Book of wisdom. It's hard to read because it's disjointed. You know what I mean by that? It's pithy sayings. One verse might say something, and the next verse what? Something entirely different. Yeah, so when you read and study, you have to remember that. If you don't, you'll just be all confused. I'll help you with it when we get to it. Psalm 115. 115. What'd you read from verses 3 to 7? Who can handle that for me? Matt? False idols. Talking about idolatry, yes, idols. One of the great problems with the Old Testament people was that of idolatry. Their idols are what? Silver and gold. The work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they what? They don't say anything. They speak not. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, they can't hear. They have a nose, but they don't do any smelling. They have hands, but they handle not. They have feet, they don't walk. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. Then he says in verse 9, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Idolatry. It was the downfall of the Lord's people in the Old Testament. Point B, I ask, what does the New Testament call idol worshipers?
Vain.
Vain and something else. Guilty of what sin? You read Colossians 3:5 for that, Edie? Who found that passage? Rebecca, what's it about?
Is it covetousness and idolatry?
What? Yeah, Colossians 3:5 has the answer for that.
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuance, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
What's that idolatry saying? What do you say idolatry is in that passage?
Covetousness.
Yeah, being guilty of coveting. Coveting. Now, most of us would not erect an idol, would we? But we might do what? Covet. How would you define the word covet? What does it mean?
The desire of someone else's.
Something that's
not yours.
Yeah. Good point. Well, I've used your time. When you come back Wednesday night, we'll pick up with verse chapter 116, point 48. Point 48. I gave you a little sheet already. In fact, I gave it to you Wednesday night. On Psalm 119, how are you coming with that work, by the way? Edie? Okay. Jenny, how are you coming with that work? Got it working on it? Wonderful. Karen? Wonderful. Filled out. Mabel, got yours all filled out? About. Okay. I'm going to preach on Psalm 119 next Sunday morning and evening. So be sure and bring yours, and we'll see if we're on the same page. Thanks for being in our study today.